Thank you for tuning in to Tripod Talk Radio, where we're spreading the word that it's better to hop on three legs than limp on four. Hosted by Jim and Renee and Wyatt Ray of the Tripods Blogs community at tripods.com, Jerry's place for canine amputees and their people.
Oh, that's silly, Jerry. Hello, and thank you for listening. This is Tripod Talk Radio, and today is Sunday, November 19th, 2017. You know, coping with change is always difficult, but it is especially hard on those of us who just wish our dogs and cats could talk and tell us what's going on, either during recovery from surgery, after they've left this world, or any time in between. Fortunately, there are expert animal communicators who do just that, help us communicate with our animals. And we are lucky to have one of the best back with us here again today to answer your questions. Stacy Krafcik is from All Spirit Healing, is an internationally renowned professional animal communicator, psychic, medium, and Reiki master teacher. She works with people and animals around the world on a physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental level to help create an overall sense of well-being and healing. You can learn more and schedule your own personal readings at allspirithealing.com. Our past Tripod Talk episodes with Stacy have proven to be our most popular shows, so we're going to get started. For those of you waiting, please stay on the line until we greet you, and when we want to get as many callers as possible, so keep your questions and comments brief after providing the name of the animal, the age, and a brief description. So, Stacy, welcome back to the show, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, I'm so excited to be back. Thank you so much for having me and helping wherever I can help today.
Hi, Stacy.
It's Renee. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Renee. Hi. It's so lovely to hear your voice again.
Oh, yours too. Folks, I have to tell you, Stacy is such a sweet and generous soul. She is here today after having a really rough week, and that included having to say goodbye to her 11-year-old kitty. So I just wanted to acknowledge that because I know that that's a really tough thing, and we're so grateful that you managed to be here today. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been tough, but, you know, that's part of life, just to keep going and help where I can. So thank you for having me.
Sure. Well, I know you're going to be a huge help to people here, and lots of folks want to talk, so I'm just going to ask you a real quick question. I'd like to get kind of a feel for how you communicate with animals, either those of who have gone on to the spirit plane and those who are still with us. What kinds of things do you do to prepare for something like this? I know it takes a lot of energy.
Yes, it does take a lot of energy. So I'm very mindful not to eat about an hour to 2 hours before an appointment or a session, because food can physically weigh the body down as well as digestion. And there are certain foods to definitely stay away from, like caffeine, chocolate, and dairy, because it can inhibit the intuitive gifts and abilities. So besides those particular foods, but meditation, that also helps to kind of clear the body and the mind. So it's very challenging to come home from, you know, a regular 9-to-5 job day and even working from home, and then you want to start talking to your animals. So it's like having 3 or 4 radio stations playing at the same time. So when you can kind of sit your body down and kind of calm your body as well as your mind as like more of like an open vessel, then it helps that monkey mind or that monkey chatter of our brain going 1,000 miles a minute. So it helps to kind of calm that. And then a quiet space. And then usually about 15 to 20 minutes prior, it's just me in my office or if I'm at a venue, but just really staying in a quiet space. So no radio, no nothing, but just silence and just really following my breath. So that really helps me to kind of prepare my body, my mind, and also the space that I'm in. So if there's lots of noise and distraction, that can be a little bit of an issue, but even outside of my home, that doesn't bother me. So just more about the space that I'm in, or if I'm at a venue or a barn, I just do my best to take care of where I am at that moment.
Wow, that's a lot of practice, I'm sure. I can't imagine being at a venue and doing something like this. I'm hearing what you're saying, and it sounds like things that us pet parents can do when we want to communicate with our animals. I mean, just to, like you said, turn off all the radio stations and be in a quiet place with them.
Definitely. And I teach this class, it's called Basic Animal Communication. For anybody who shares their life with an animal is already intuitively connected, just not always consciously aware of how they're already doing it. A lot of times I'll say to people, you're sitting there watching TV and all of a sudden here comes Fluffy and he sits down and looks at you and then you're like, oh, Fluffy, it's time to eat. So besides it possibly being 5 o'clock, because animals, you know, they know energetically when their time is to eat, as most of us do know.
Mm-hmm.
So that is like a very like common thing for us just to get without consciously realizing it. Another mm-hmm. quick example, I was at my mom's house and her dog came up to me and just sat down and just looked at me and said, I have to go outside. So I said, tell your mother. So he walked over by my mom on the computer and then she looked down with no words being said. Then she's like, oh, Teddy, fine, I'll take you outside. So it's just one of those things that it's just in a flash. It is, I call it lightning quick. So a lot mm-hmm. of times we're already getting an impression in our mind. We're feeling the physical pains of like in our body of them being hungry or having like an urgency to go outside, to go potty. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, whether it's an image, a feeling, a knowing, or a sensation, that's how they're doing it. We just have to be more consciously aware as well as clear, like you had mentioned, from all the outside noise and distraction. But it happens to people with animals all the time. They're just not realizing that they're doing it regularly.
That's so cool. I love that we all have that within us. Stacey, we're going to take our first call right now. I think Jim's ready to unmute them. And caller, if you can give us your name, your animal's name, the age of the animal, the description of the animal, and the question that you want to ask Stacey. That'd
well,
be great.
Can I just, stop real quick?
Yeah.
So I just want to kind of preface the session for today.
Sure. Please.
So when people will give me the name information, I'll connect with them energetically, even if, you know, they're at home, I'm here at my house and, you know, wherever they are. So I'll get the information from the animal first, and I'll relay it to the person. And I always remind people to keep an open mind. Some things will make sense, boom, right away, got it. Some things might make a little bit more sense after we get off the phone and we have like a little light bulb moment. So I would say it's coming from the animal's perspective, four legs on the floor, two legs standing in a perch, or four hooves in a stall or the pasture. So sometimes it's their perspective, which is different than our human perspective, two legs standing above and sometimes hovering over the animal. Mm-hmm. So I would like to remind people about that different perspective. And then the last thing is I always preface each session with a prayer. And I always ask for whatever is needed for that person and animals for their highest and greatest good and whatever they need to heal for today. So it's not always what they want to hear, but it's always what they need to hear and always said and delivered with love. So I just want everyone to kind of remember that, because sometimes they have an expectation of what they think they should hear, what they need to hear. And so sometimes when something else comes up, they dismiss it or don't want to hear it. So I always like to preface it like that to kind of give everybody, especially who haven't done it before, to kind of get a better understanding of how that happens.
Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I also want to remind everyone on the line that we do have a number of callers. We have five lined up by name that we're going to call on first, and the rest we will call on by area code when the time comes. We're going to start with Jackie, then Tina, Tiffany, David, and Paula. And we'd love to keep these to 3 to 5 minutes each. And at some point, this energy is going to put a strain on Stacey and we'll need to wrap up the call. So when your session is done, you can feel free to keep listening or hang up and you'll be able to listen to the entire episode when we post the podcast. So Jackie, can you please tell us a bit about your animal?
Hi, Stacey. Thank you so much for doing this tonight. I
I had a black lab named Licorice. She was about 10 years old, and she was a left front leg tripod. And she had osteosarcoma. She only lasted about 7 months after the amputation, and I had to put her down. I thought she was in pain. I felt really badly about putting her down because she was still eating up until the end. So I was wondering if you could get any information from her.
Yes. The first thing I get from Licorice Jackie is talk about a sweetheart. Just oozes love, like my heart just explodes with love, but also how much love she had for you. Mm-hmm. And she was just as much of a caretaker and as a mom for you as you were for her. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
So she just shows me like pink light and love coming from her heart to your heart. And she says to say thank you. And I literally see her like she's sitting down on the floor with her butt, like her tail wagging. Like it was so hard for her not to move her butt and to wag her tail because she was just a typical happy-go-lucky girl.
She was.
And she wants, yes, and she wants to let you know that she is totally okay, and she shows me having all four paws so they get restored when they go back to the spirit plane. And she says to reassure you that it was the right time, that she was ready to go, and that she ate all, because she loved food too, but mm-hmm. she said she had to wait for you to get ready. So there's a point of her that she was like what we call holding space for you to kind of catch up to her and be ready for the both of you to let go at the same time. Mm. So the part where like her spirit would have kept going and kept going, but her physical body, she says it was just so heavy and so hard. And the last thing I'll just say, and then I'll see what you were going to say. But she also shows me, besides having like the front left amputee, but it's just, and she, besides food and loving to eat and being a bigger girl, and having some more lumps and bumps on her body, which you were also worried about too, she says. Do you understand that?
Yeah, the cancer had spread.
Yes. So it was more, and she also had some digestive issues because I can feel a sensation in her stomach burning as well. So even though she would eat, again, she would eat until she couldn't. But just the sensation in her body, but also her spirit, like she was ready. And even though it was very sad, she says it was the right time. And for you not to have guilt, because you still have some guilt and regret around that.
Yes, I do.
Yes. So it's her way to come through and to ease your mind, but also your heart. And she wants to remind you, she's like, I know how much my mom loves me because you told her all the time and you kissed her face. And you would talk to her in her ear, and you would rub her ears because they were silky soft, she said. So just to know that when you let her go, she says that I heard her, and I wasn't alone when she crossed over either.
Do you know who she was with?
She talks about being with, there's a female she would call Grandma, so an older female figure, regardless if they knew each other on the earth or not. And then she also shows me, I don't know if it's like a yellow lab, but another light-colored dog as well.
Oh, could it be a beagle?
If it was a lighter-colored beagle, because I know sometimes they can be tri-colored or white and brown, but I just see a lighter-colored dog.
Wow. That's amazing, because her best friend who passed before her was a beagle. And I had an older pit bull who was a brindle.
Okay. And what was the beagle's name?
Beasley.
Beasley. Is that a boy or a girl?
A boy.
Okay. He kind of shows me like being a little snooty, Beasley.
Snooty.
And yes, kind of like the follow the leader, where he felt like he was he thought very highly of himself.
Oh, yes. Yes. Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how he's coming through. So just to know that they also joined up together as well.
Oh, that is so comforting, because they were the best of friends.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
So that they're together in, I would call it romping in heaven, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But Licorice also says, before we have to wrap it up, that you heard her bark. and this was after she passed, and she wants to let you know that was her, and she sees that you still have her collar. I don't know if you actually got a paw print, but she talks about, like, the paw print tattoo or the paw print, but having that, the significance in that. So to know that she saw that after your the passing.
Wow. Okay, Stacy, I can't thank you enough. You've been wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Jackie. I appreciate that, and have a good rest of the day.
Thanks, Jackie. It's great to hear your voice.
If we're all ready, we'll just move right on and welcome.
Hi there. My name is Tina. Thank you for having me, Stacy.
Hi, Tina.
My dog's name is Manny. He's still alive. He's almost 11, and he's a tri-colored mutt, I guess. Think Bernese Mountain Dog, and, well, smaller, with freckles. And he's a front right amputee. And I would like to understand if he would like to stick around for a little while longer, or if the time has come to let him go.
Okay. You said how old is he, and what was his name?
Almost 11, and his name is Manny.
Manny, can you spell it for me?
M-A-N-N-I.
Oh, Manny. Okay, I just had a hard time hearing you. And then you said, what color is he?
He's tri-colored, like a Bernese Mountain Dog.
Okay, tri-colored and a medium-sized dog, you said?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Just give me a second. And you can just breathe and relax too, Tina, so you can just relax your body.
I am breathing anyway.
That's funny because Mani is talking about that my mom is very uptight and she worries about me a lot. So do you understand that too, Tina?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So he talks about that. And he's a little bit of aloof. He feels like he's like reserved and laid back besides being a tripod, but he just has a little bit more of a laid back energy.
Mm-hmm.
He's just saying that it's getting harder for him to breathe. So as I'm in his energy, I just feel like I'm panting more and I can feel the tightness in his chest and lung area. So have you noticed him panting and open mouth breathing a lot more?
He's not panting so much as, the breathing's a little more labored, I guess. The ribcage does move as much or as well, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm feeling as soon as I'm in his energy. And that's one thing I also wanted to point out for everybody else listening. So for me, I can feel people's and animals' aches, pains, ailments in my body. So I know if their front left shoulder is hurting, I can feel if they're sad or if there's anger there, or again, kind of being flippant, like, I'll just talk to you later. Or even in a joint to knees. So that's also can, besides them telling me or showing me, I can also feel it in my body. And that's what Mani is showing me. And that's where I got that constriction in his chest.
Okay.
And he also says that he is kind of a big dork, he says, where he just, besides being laid back and aloof, but he just is kind of like a whatever, just kind of kept to, it like beats to his own drum and he loves it. And he likes getting lots of attention because people say about how different he is than other dogs around him. So he loves tooting his own horn, and he knows how handsome he is and that he's like a pretty boy and he's a good-looking dog. So he gets that a lot, and he knows that, especially at the vet. Do you understand that?
He does get that a lot, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So animals know that, and some can be quite divas about it, but he just is very matter-of-fact.
Yeah, ego to match, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great word, ego, arrogant, yes. So when I asked him if he's feeling like he wants to stick around for a while, he says yes for a little while, yet, but his physical body is tired. And he says that he would like more for pain, so some more pain management would be helpful because it does feel like it's kind of making him a little more grumpier. And again, just kind of the standoffish feeling. So part of this is if I asked if he's ready to go tomorrow, he says, no, not quite that soon. But it's just more about knows that his physical body is, tired. And he says, and he just loved to like run around, but he likes to kind of like lollygag and smell. And again, you're talking to me, Mom. Yeah, I'll come when I'm ready. So he just, that's what he, his favorite pastime is just to kind of walk around, smell, and do his own thing. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Socialize.
I had to learn to understand that, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what he misses the most, especially being a tripod. But he still has some life left in him. So he doesn't want you to quite give up on him yet, but even though it's challenging for you as the mom of kind of constantly and sometimes obsessively in a loving way, obsessing over him, but he knows it's around the corner.
Okay.
And he says that he... What's that?
Ladies, I just wanted to let you know we need to wrap this call up really soon, so I'm going to let you go on for a little bit, but maybe like another minute or two, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay. So what were you just finishing up saying, Tina?
I forgot just now. Sorry.
Okay. But he just says that he knows he loves you too, and he says he'll give you a sign, and you'll know it in your heart that it's time to let him go, but he's not there yet. So if you looked at him today, you know, I can even see him thumping his tail and still kind of grinning, but he says that he will let you know.
Okay.
All right.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you.
Tina, thank you so much for joining us. Give Manny a big ear rub for us there. And if it's okay with Stacy, we'll move right on to Tiffany.
Sure.
Okay. And then we'll take a little break for you.
Okay.
Okay. Tiffany, are you with us?
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Tiffany.
Hi. My dog was Cowboy. He was 8. Doberman, black and tan, natural ears.
Okay.
And my question is, does he realize that everything he was put through, the amputation, the chemo, pills, was to save him and that nothing, you know, worked, so we had to let him go before he suffered? Like, does he know all that was because he was sick and it was to save him?
He says yes, and he says he was a trooper. And I could cry in his energy as well as yours too, Tiffany, because he shows me, like, it felt like it was very progressive and it felt like everything was very fast with him, where it was also, like, out of your control. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. And then what he's doing now is that he's showing me, like, wagging his, like, little stumper, but he's play bowing. So his butt's in the air, and he's smiling, and he's, like, getting ready, like, to play, like, Mom, let's play. Mom, let's play. So part of this is reassurance to you, too, Tiffany, that he understood. And you talked to him through the whole thing. You told him every step, everything that you were doing, just like you would be talking to a human, and he's so grateful. And he just had these very soft eyes, like, okay, Mom, I know. So it was his soul's journey and purpose to be with you, but he says that he also helped you to overcome even your fears, but he gave you confidence and strength that you didn't even know that you had. So he was also a very big teacher for you in a very powerful way. And he talks about he still visits you all the time, and he lays his favorite place in the bed, he says, but also on the favorite chair. And do you still have another dog?
Yes, his brother.
Okay, because he says he still goes and pesters his brother. So every once in a while, like, his brother will be sleeping, and all of a sudden he'll just kind of get up and look or bark or, like, what's that? Or get up and start running. He says that's him. So he's letting you, Cowboy's letting you know through the other dog that he's still around. But he is happy as a clam. And he also shows me barking and then bouncing when he barked as well besides the play bow. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So that's a validation for you that he is A-okay. He said not to feel bad or to blame yourself, but he says he knew you needed to try all of those things to make sure you did the right thing, because he says you were and are a great mom. So he knows that in the depth of his heart and his soul. So please also know that too, Tiffany, that you are a great mom and that you did everything you could for him, but it just was too much too soon. It was just it felt like the cancer, everything was just too fast.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You are so welcome, and you'll be in my thoughts and prayers as well.
And ours too, Tiffany. I promised Stacy that we would give her a little break in between calls, because this is there's a lot of emotion and energy here. And wow, Stacy, thank you so much for such great information, and you're so helpful for people. We can't thank you enough. I wanted to talk a little bit because you know, Cowboy has transitioned on, and we have lots of people here whose animals have or are about to. And I want to ask you, let's talk a little bit about the signs that animals leave us after they've moved on. A lot of times people will find something that reminds them of their animal. Like there's this cute ongoing thing in our community, which is pennies. Every time somebody finds a penny, we think of our tripod. And I was wondering, you know, what kind of signs do you see them leaving? Why, and why do they do it? And what are some of the more unusual things that you've seen?
Yes, a lot of that, of the signs, is to bring us comfort, and sometimes even to validate our thoughts. So if we're thinking about them and then we look down, we find the penny or the feather, just like, oh, that was from Fluffy or Fido or whatnot. And other people who just joined us, I'll just share what, you know, we had talked about in the beginning, where I did have to let go of my 11-and-a-half-year-old cat on last week, Saturday, so just a week ago. And so it was like 10 in the morning, and I was at the emergency vet. We walked out to the parking lot with my friends and family. I get to the car. My sister quick runs up to the car. She said, there's a hawk. There's a hawk. And the hawk had swooped down maybe 15 or 20 feet from my sister and family and friends who were still in the parking lot. And I was just, you know, a couple cars away. I get up and look, and there's the hawk that landed probably 30 feet off of the ground on a very low branch. And then he flew up to another tree a couple feet away, and then went to a higher branch, and then he eventually flew away within not even a minute. And that was Connor, my cat, sign of saying, hey, Mom, I'm good. Mm-hmm. And then I came home, sat in my chair, and the front window, there's a bush in my front window, and there was a cardinal who chirped and chirped, which I've been here 2.5 years, and I never have ever had a cardinal in my front bush for all those times. But I've had my back bird feeders, and it chirped for 5-10 minutes nonstop. Wow. And again, bringing me comfort. So when I left the vet, I knew, like, okay, I had a sense of peace. I came home, sat down, and I was exhausted physically and emotionally. But then hearing the chirping of the cardinal, it was like almost like a sense of a little bit of invigoration. And I was like, thank you. Tuesday morning, I wake up 4 or 5 in the morning. My cat had came into my bed, into my dream state, and was there to comfort me, let me know that he was okay. And he was literally smiling from ear to ear, happy-go-lucky, and he was good. Aww. Later that night, I went to this crystal bowl healing and Reiki, which is an energy healing session from just an hour from 6 to 7 with a bunch of other people. And I laid down, and I literally was knocked out for the first half hour of the session. And I was drooling. And then my cat came into like my dream state again, popped up smiling, and it was just this reassurance of happiness, of joy. I'm safe. I'm okay. It was the right time, and it was the right thing for me to do. So that was just in days apart. So a lot of times we're just like, oh, I'm making this up. There's no way you can really make it up. And I always say the more abstract and the more obscure it is, the more real and valid it is. So pennies and things that are tangible that we can actually physically see or physically feel, it's like that skepticism. We need that type of proof, where mm-hmm. sometimes if we see them, what we think out of the corner of our eye, or where they're used to sleep in their bed or on top of the couch or wherever it is, it's like, oh, that was them. And then we do double take and they're gone. So they still come back to visit. And I think that's the biggest message for everybody today with animals that have passed on. And it's just as easy for people to connect with them, even, you know, as they would connect with their animals if they're hungry, want to go for a walk, that they're telling them while they're here, you can still get those signs. But just sometimes our pain or our anguish or our hurt prevents us from feeling that because we're still grieving.
That is so comforting and helpful, because I've seen that, you know, with birds and things like that, that remind me of our Jerry. So, that's all really great information to keep in mind, especially when your heart is really, really hurting. Stacy, are you ready for another call? Or
yes.
Are you? Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Jim's going to let the next call on right now then.
Yeah, I want to thank everyone still holding. We're going to do our best to get all of your calls. And we have Rocky's dad, David, on the phone.
Hey, David.
Hi, Stacy. Thank you for doing this. My dog was Rocky. He was about 11 and a half Cocker Spaniel. And he went to the bridge in September. And I'm just kind of curious, I guess, how he's doing and if he made it okay to the other side.
Okay. And what color was he and how old?
He was blonde colored and he was roughly 11 and a half.
He's very funny. And talk about a daddy's boy. Good grief. And talk about Velcro. So I can definitely feel him. I call him a Velcro dog or Velcro animals when they're attached at your hip. Do you understand that?
Yep.
So anywhere you went, he's like, I should go. And he comes through like, I literally want to laugh because he was such kind of like a goofy boy, but very cute and loved you to pieces. And he says that he can't help that he was stinking toward the end. So it's almost like, oh, Rocky, you're so stinky, but you're so cute. So it was anything that he took personal, but he just says, I couldn't help that I started to stink. And he also talked about having, like, whether the chronic ear infections, but just having stinky ears as well as that and his breath. Do you understand that?
That doesn't make as much sense, but.
Okay. Because he's just talking about, I can't help that I was stinky. And again, whether it makes sense now or afterwards. But he talks about his transition being very quick, but he's a very bubbly and a very light energy. Even though he has some nervous, like even separation from you, like I call a little bit of a separation anxiety, but comes back energetically, very clear, very bright. And I really feel bouncy. Like even like when you would walk him, it just feels like he just bounced. It's not like he walked or trotted. He just like, do. So he talks about that. And he says that, I don't know if you actually have a piece of his hair or if you actually found a piece or a clump of his hair, but he's in referencing the hair. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's just another validation for you. And he also is letting you know, too, that it was the right time. And was there a significance, I know you said September, but what was the month of October? So was that like a birthday or anniversary of some sort? He was talking about not missing it, so he was still there for that. So it's like a celebration of something.
I had his ashes blessed on October 1st.
Okay. So just a validation that his spirit was there with you, and that was something that, you know, doesn't come through, especially when it's around that memorial type of thing, but just to know that he was there in the spirit and that he loved you very much. And he knows how much you loved him and how hard it was to let him go. So that is, and I just feel like he is your buddy. Like he is right there for you.
He was definitely a daddy's boy.
Yep. He knows that. All right, David. Well, have a good night. Hopefully that helped.
David, thank you so much. I will be doing one car. Hold up. Are you with us, Paula? Paula, do you happen to be on the line?
Let's hear you now.
Hello?
Go ahead, Jim.
Go ahead.
Yes. No, I just was having a hard time hearing Jim. So whatever, I couldn't understand whatever you said. So I was saying I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. So is Paula on the line or not?
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you. Sorry for the confusion there. Go ahead.
Hi. My boy was Nitro. He's 11 and a half year old Doberman, right front amp. And I'm just wondering if he was scared the morning we said goodbye. And he was also a Velcro dog. And is he doing okay without us?
Okay. So Nitro, was he a black and tan or a red, did you say?
He's black and tan.
Black and tan. And how old?
He was 11 and a half.
11 and a half. He's kind of a dork, too. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Because he comes through just like, doo, 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 puppies and rainbows and sunshine and kittens. Life is so good. But even though he had the nervous anxiety and the Velcro dog as well, but he just shows me, like, again, attached to the hip, but it's like he would do things without necessarily even having to be told because he was so connected with you as well. He talks about being with a brother or a dog who is like a brother in the spirit because he definitely feels like he was a follower. So not like this alpha, dominant, aggressive dog. He just had more of like this beta dog energy. Do you understand that?
I do.
Okay. So he was talking about that. He says he wasn't scared to go to the spirit plane. He was just, it was hard to leave his people, he says. So he just shows me like almost that heart connection, but that Velcro of that heart where it's like, oh, like the rubber band, how you pull it and it kind of snap back and it just stings. That's like that the sense of him having to leave the boat, leaving all of you to go to the spirit plane, but comes through. And did he have like one ear that was different than the other?
He had one that kind of leaned over like the wind was blowing from that direction.
Okay, so I just asked for another validation. He just showed me, like, sometimes two ears can be exactly the same, but he showed me one ear just being a little different than the other and just validating the connection to you for that. And then he says, I loved my butt being scratched. So he's like, he turned around and put his butt between my legs, and he's just like, oh, right there, right there, right there. And it's like he's dancing back and forth. Do you understand that?
I do.
Yes. So to know that he's definitely, I would say, like, blissful in the spirit plane and very happy. And would he like bark with things in his mouth? So whether it was actually like a ball or a stick, but just barking with things in his mouth. What do you know what that means?
Yeah, he would bark with a tennis ball in his mouth.
Okay. So that's another validation, but that he's at peace. So it was very hard for you guys to lose him, but also to know that he is kind of grown up in the spirit plane. So animals and people, when they transition to the spirit plane, they can still be nerdy, nervous Nellies or grumpy or whatever, and sometimes they can choose to grow, change, and evolve, and he feels like he's maturing a little bit, but still like a goober. So just to know that it was just hard for him to physically leave you, and he's, and would he poke you in your butt with his nose? Because he shows me, like, poking as well.
He would always poke with his nose or his one remaining front leg.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I'm talking to you. Hey, turn around. So just to know, my dear, that he is still with you, but he is just bubbly and full of life and zest as he was here on the earth before he got sick and departed.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome, my dear. Have a good night.
Paula, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to go on with the remaining callers here that I don't have your names, and we're going to call you off by area code. So 513 area code. Who's joining us there?
Carla.
Carla, thanks for calling.
Yes, I'm calling about Tommy. He's my 13-year-old dog that we've had for about 12 years. He's been a front leg amputee for about almost 10 years now. And he's getting old and frail and needs a lot of help getting around, but I think he's still enjoying his life. I hope so. So I'm calling to see if he has anything to tell us about. Is he happy with where he is right now, even though he's older?
I believe we may have lost Stacy. I believe this is her here. Hold on. I think she's joined us. Stacy, are you with us?
Yes. I don't know what the heck happened.
Sorry there. I have no idea either. Here we go.
All right.
Oh, so Carla, if you don't mind repeating all of that.
Yes, I have a dog who's about 13 years old, Tommy. We've had him 12 years, and he had a front leg amputation about 10 years ago from trauma that he suffered before we got him. And he's getting pretty old and frail now, and he needs a lot of help getting around. But I think he's okay with that, and he's happy to keep going. And I'm calling to see if he's okay with where he is in his elderly life right now.
And what kind of dog is Tommy?
He's about a 37-pound black dog, kind of a mix, maybe a Staffordshire mix. Got a lot of weight in his face now.
Okay. Tommy, let's see what we can get from Tommy. She says that if I still want to smile, like I get like a good old boy. Like he's just a good old boy. And he says he loves the massages.
Uh-huh.
So okay. He talks about that you guys are very adamant about the massages and you're very in tune with him when he's moving slow and besides needing help. But I get just a sense of contentment and peacefulness and still joy. So mm-hmm. I do feel like he's showing me that he is very happy and content. And even though he says he has roller coaster days, so there's some days where I'm like, oof, I'm a little stiffer than others. And then some days where it just feels like he's managing okay. And he says there's like, I don't know if you're like a blue thing that you actually use to lift him up. And he says that sometimes it rubs on his belly funny. So it's almost like whether it's like a Velcro thing, but it feels like it's a little bit of an irritant. So I don't know if there's like on one side it's smoother, on the other side it's a little bit rougher. But he says just to kind of keep an eye on that.
Okay, yes, we do use a couple of harnesses to help him around, and they're two different kinds.
Yes, so just make sure that when you rub your hand down, because I say a lot with horses and saddles too, is even though it looks good, but just take your hand and just see where if there's like a, even like a little stick or like a little poking. But otherwise, he's very content. And not all animals, my dear, come through like, oh, I'm great, this is fine. Like, I don't want this, leave me alone, and get very grumpy about it. But he just is very content. He says that he does miss the water, though.
Yes, yes. We take him in the water periodically, which seems to help his arthritis.
Mm-hmm. So is there a way you can take him more often, or what can I tell him?
Yes, yes, we can take him more often.
Okay. Because he said that he would like that, and he also feels like he's an ambassador for your area, so whether it's actually the vets or the pool or wherever you take him, but just being like a three-legged dog and people will go up to him and be like, oh my God, can I see your dog? And just, he feels like he's very content sitting there. And he also shows it like when he sits down, his back leg also splays off to the side. Mm-hmm. It's not like what he normally would sit on his full butt, but he's had that leg split off to the side. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, yeah.
Yes. So he just feels that he's also like a three-legged ambassador too. So do you understand that?
Yes, actually, he was the reason that I opened a dog pool that helps other dogs, including some other tripods, and he was really the inspiration for that. So he's been an ambassador for sure.
Mm-hmm. And my chest puffs out like he's very proud of that. And he's humble, not like the other arrogant, you know, full of himself, but he's just, that's his job. Like, that's one thing that he's very happy and very content with. And he doesn't want anybody to feel sorry for him either, because he just, that's what I came here to do. And that's part of his mission, to help other animals, but also it's like bringing awareness to people, but especially for you. And like, this is your calling.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes. So I always say animals are healers and teachers to us as much as we are to them. And they all come with different purposes. And that's one of like his missions.
Mm-hmm. And he's always been such a trooper and just a really happy boy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he just loves you for that, too, because you have a very good bond. And he says, I still want to go in the car, though. He's like, I still want to go places. It's harder to get in and out. But he's like, but don't you leave me at home. I still want to go.
Yes. He has a special spot in the car.
Mm-hmm. So don't forget, I'm like, you know, I'm getting older, he says. And he says, even if I passed away in the car, I'd be okay with that. Because he says, that's where I want to be. And besides, like, the graying muzzle on the face. But he says, and I would like more ice cream. He's like, you're getting a little stingy with the ice cream.
It's been a while. Yes. Okay,
yes.
We'll go back for ice cream.
Yes. So just honoring the beautiful bond that you have and keep up the great work with your own animal, but for also for all the other animals that you help and serve.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carla, thank you for calling in, and thanks for being so good to Tommy there. Stacy, we have four remaining calls, so if you want, we could take a real short break here, and you can chat with Renee for a couple minutes if you need that.
Well, we could keep on going.
All right, then. Thanks. Area code 518. Who do we have there? And hi, you're calling from area code 518, and you're online now. Are you there?
Oh, I'm 518, I think. My name is
Yep,
Dawn.
That's you. Thank you. Your name is what?
My name's Dawn, and my dog's name is Fallon. She's a greyhound. And the question I have, she's a front leg amputee relatively recently. It's 39 days today. And I just want to see if she has any input on anything that we can do for her better, or something that she...
What color did you say she is?
She's a white greyhound.
White, solid white greyhound. And how old?
She's 11 years old.
Okay. And you just wanted to know her quality of life, you said, or just if there was
that's a good way of putting it. She's been through a lot of changes in the last months, and we really compel her to do a lot that she wouldn't normally have to do. Don't feel that she wants to do a lot, you know, like, going to chemotherapy, going to rehab. She's a good trooper about it. But if there's anything else we could do to help make her happy or satisfied, we would love.
Okay. And then what was her first name?
Fallon, F-A-L-L-O-N.
Oh, Fallon. Okay, thank you. She said even before this, of losing her leg, she has always felt like a tomboy. So she's not like necessarily that diva, like prissy, but she just has more of like a tomboy energy.
Right.
And she says that this may be hard for you to hear, Dawn, and I'm very sorry, but she doesn't want to have to keep doing this anymore.
Okay.
So she says that she's very tired, and she says you've kind of already had the sense, like in your heart, that you know that she's just tired. And it's like she's fought this good fight for you guys as well as for her, but she's just like, Mom, I'm just really tired. And it's not that I don't love you, but she says it's affecting the quality of my life. And even like, just even feeling like finicky with eating. And just, it just feels like sometimes it's a struggle. So she just says that she just wants more help with the pain management because she just feels more nauseous lately. So she shows me like having like a sick feeling in her belly, like how we have heartburn or feel like we need to drink like a ginger ale or have a saltine cracker. That's kind of what she feels like. But she shows me like even when she's walking, she's kind of hanging her head. So it's not like she's up walking tall and proud. It's just more of like going through the motions. Do you understand that?
I do. She doesn't show it outwardly at all that way, though.
Yeah, so this is just how she's coming through for me, for you. And there's a part of you that you are a fighter, and you are quick-witted, you're go-go-go energy. And so part of this is wanting to do this for you. And there's just a part of her that just is really, really tired. So what would you like me to share with her about that?
I can't think of anything. I'll speak with her.
So what you can do, and, you know, when we get off the phone, and you can just say, you know what, they're coming from you, Dawn. You can say, you know what, I'm not ready to let you go yet, or I feel like I need to do this for a little bit longer. And is that okay, or can you hang on for a little bit more? And then she can, you know, give you a sign of yes, I can, or just like, no, I'm done. So that's like not getting in the car or not getting up to go to the door. So different things like that. And sometimes even hearing such very hard, devastating and heartbreaking news, even though we may have a sense of it, but sometimes as humans, it just takes a while to register. So there's a part of her that just is really tired, and just whatever you can do in the meantime, as you kind of figure out what you feel resonates or is appropriate for you, is just to talk to your vet and add some more pain supplements in there. And sometimes when we do some other management that can pick up their personality and that can change that demeanor a little bit. But right now it just feels like, oh, I'm not feeling so hot. If I were to give you a pain scale, 1 to 10, 10 being the highest of pain, she's about a 5 right now. And I get a bit more of that nauseous feeling in her stomach. And remember that animals, their natural instinct is to hide, mask, and disguise the pain until it just is too much for them to bear. And that's kind of what happened with my cat and how it happened very quickly in a week, which is different than yours. But just they hold it until they just can't do it anymore. And that's kind of where she's at.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry. I wish I had more information and better news, but I just have to be honest and give you the message that she's sharing with me. So I'm sorry, Dawn.
I'm so sorry too. Stacy, I know you definitely warned everybody at the beginning that, you know, it's not always what we want to hear, but it's sometimes what we have to hear because the animal's trying to communicate to us. So you mentioned pain, and I wanted to ask you, that was actually on my list of questions, how can we better tap into our intuition to read our animals when they're trying to tell us that they're in pain? Are there things that you feel that we should be looking for?
Yes, and that is great because that comes up a lot with people and animals. And I would go to the physical signs right away. Is pacing is huge, especially if they weren't pacers before, because that's even a tripod. Is and the excessive breathing, like the open mouth breathing, the panting, and just watching them breathe, that's another physical sign. Digging in the carpet, even if they're laying. But if they weren't diggers and nesters before with their beds or the carpeting, that's another huge sign. And another thing is when animals aren't sleeping well at night is to incorporate pain in talking to your vet and doing the pain meds before bed for the humans and the animals. So the animals can sleep through the night, the humans can sleep through the night, but that usually tends to be the biggest sign of exhaustion for the humans and the animals. But intuitively, even if you're looking at your animal and you're just like, okay, I'm seeing these signs, but maybe I'm overthinking. So then close your eyes, take a couple nice deep breaths. I always tell people to squeeze your glutes. So when you squeeze your glutes, you bring your awareness out of your head from thinking and you bring it back to your body to begin to feel and to feel what that animal may be feeling, but being more in tune and empowered of your body so you can fully connect with your own intuition. And then that usually comes to an alignment of I see that and I also feel that discomfort and pain. And you can also even look at their eyes, and their eyes will tell you, like telepathy, is that thought or that feeling, that image of just like, mom, dad, I need more help. I need more pain medicine, or not eating. That's one of the biggest things too. And usually like the end of life is they're not eating, especially if they're chow hounds. The pacing and not enjoying life, so wagging of the tail, wanting to play, and they're just kind of existing. If that happens for a longer period of time, then that's also their way of saying, hey, you know, I'm not feeling so hot. And they can still bounce back after a while of not feeling good, just like we do, but you'll just kind of know, and you see that life kind of leave, that spark leave their eye as well.
Yeah, that's such a tough time. Are you ready for another call, Stacy? Because it looks like we have 10 more minutes or so, and I think there's a couple more callers. There's three
sure.
more. Yeah, okay.
Wonderful. We're going to welcome a caller from 804 area code.
Oh, hi. Stacy, thank you so much. I've been sitting here laughing and crying and everything else, and I just want to very, very quickly say that I just got a message from you from my happy Hannah, and that wasn't even why I called. But just hearing that you were describing the pain, because it wasn't, and I'm so sorry, but I just want to thank you. It wasn't a case where she necessarily stopped wagging or stopped eating. She was a tripod for over a year and had osteosarcoma and had gone to the lungs, et cetera, et cetera. She was very exhausted, very tired. And when you told me that not sleeping at night was a sign of exhaustion, that just helped me so much, because that happened a couple of days ahead, and I sort of used that as a sign, and yet I still kind of doubted myself and all of that. I'm so sorry. I'm just so happy. Now, yeah. What I called for was to ask you a question about a tripod Frankie that I have. He's approximately 4 years old. He's a rescue. He's a crazy wild coon hound, and he is having a lot of issues with his three remaining legs. And the last months I've had him in and out, different vets. I've not done a whole extreme amount of financial testing. And I'm wondering if he can convey to you what is really going on, and if you'd like
me to say some of the things that I've heard mentioned. I'd be glad to do it.
So you said he's a 4-year-old coonhound. What color?
He's black and brown and speckled.
Okay. And it's Frankie. He feels like a very, I'd call him a crazy dog.
Got that
he
right.
He feels like he bounces off the walls, and he has a very hard time feeling in his body. So he's a very ungrounded dog. And
yes.
He, I call him like ADD. He's over here, over here, over here, over here.
Yes.
So he shows me having some digestive issues, and that feels like besides being a tripod, but it feels like I want to, like, I don't know if he's actually a very oral animal where he always has to have something in his mouth.
Correct.
But that's part of, like, grounding himself by having something in his mouth. But also, I get a lot of digestive issues, and I get, like, I get more heartburn, actually, in his body. And if I were to go on a pain scale between 1 and 10, that also feels between, like, a 5 and a 6. He also shows me that besides being moved around and bounced around a lot, I don't know if you actually, or you or somebody else, your partner or spouse may tease about not keeping him because he's so crazy, and even if it's like teasing, but he wants to know if you're going to keep him because there's just this anxiety that is,
oh my gosh,
overwhelming him.
Oh, absolutely. So, convey to him we're stuck no matter what. Oh, but
right.
That's good to know. Thank you. Thank you.
So that's going to be something, it sounds silly, but to apologize to him for any miscommunication or misunderstanding. If it wasn't teasing, a lot of times when we have animals, even if they're from a breeder, but especially a rescue, is that they're used to being bounced around. He showed me being like you're his third or fourth placement. So there's also that sense of fight or flight, and he's not really that trusting of humans, and that's why he's always like looking over his shoulder. So that's the biggest thing. And so sometimes, even though there's physical manifestations in his body, a lot of times it has to do with the emotional state as well. So he feels very ungrounded and very unsure. He also is worried about never having enough food. So I feel like I can inhale food. So there's a sensation about starving. So you can also reassure him, especially being a rescue, that you'll always have food for him, and that there's a part of him and his anxiety on a 1 to 10 scale, probably like he wakes up at a 7 or an 8. Like he's always like, what's over here? What's over there? What's over here? What's over there? And he's very... He's like all paws. So he's very flappy. He's just paws all over the place. Do you understand that?
I do.
Yes. So that, besides the stomach issues, which I would definitely address, but the emotional part about him being your forever dog, and then what was the other thing I just said?
Digestive, emotional, making sure he has plenty of food.
Yes, and the food. And that could be something you would tell him both of those things every day for like a week straight, a couple times a day. And it sounds silly, but you'll begin to see him breathe different. You'll begin to feel like he's feeling more grounded and feeling his paws to the earth. But that would be like a huge place that I would definitely start and then go from there. And that might be like whether you contact me or another communicator for a 20-minute session. But he's going to take a couple sessions to kind of come back down from that 7 or 8, and we don't ever force an animal, just like we don't force people, and at
right.
his own times, at his own terms. But he's a complex kid, as you know.
Thank you so much. Is he sending you any message specifically about his legs or anything, or just more in general?
Well, there's some pain, so he feels very clumsy. So it's just more about how you can support him, because he still feels awkward. So even though he's all paws, it still feels like there's pain, and that might even be chiropractic as well and massage, but he just is really, his body is really choppy.
Okay,
so
thank you.
Hopefully
so
that helps.
Yes, it does. Thank you, and thanks for bringing Hannah to me, too.
Yes,
and
thank
can
you.
I still stay up? I can still stay on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sally, you can feel free to keep listening. Thank you very much for joining us. And Stacy, there's two callers left. Can we squeeze those in?
Sure.
Wonderful. We have someone calling from 859 area code. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Jackie. I'm from Kentucky, and we have Huckleberry. He is a domestic short hair, gray tabby with white, and he's about 2 years old. He was a feral cat that was visiting our yard, and we trapped him and had him neutered and found out that his back leg was broken, So we had it amputated, and he's an indoor kitty now.
Okay. So you just wanted to check in with him?
Well, I guess the first thing I want to know is how he feels about everything, if he's okay with being indoors forever. He's a little unpredictable, and sometimes when he's good, then all of a sudden he's bad, and he's getting domesticated, and he seems to love his home, but then there's other times that you have to be really careful around him. So I just want to know how he feels about this whole thing, getting trapped and then neutered and then amputated.
I think overwhelmed is a good word. And there is a sense of frustration as well as a sense of relief. So there's a frustration of wanting to go out and kind of roaming the streets, that energy. And then there's another part about, whew, I feel safe being in the house, but also it feels like a jail. So jail to a human, kind of a jail to a cat. So it's not like he doesn't love you or your family. And who's the other cat in the house?
Oh, my goodness. I've got Oscar and Andy, and then we have a dog, Mitchell.
And is one of them orange?
No, my no.
So he talks about, unless it's out an outdoor cat, he talks about the orange one not being very nice to him. And so I see like a big fatty. So if this is not your house, then it must be outside. And all that's what actually caused some, not necessarily the injury, but just feeling like a sense of torment. And so he showed me also being in the house and feeling like it also feels overwhelming with the animals in the house, but also with one of the other cats as well. Because it feels like with Huckleberry that he wants to be the king of the castle, but also feels like he feels threatened as well. And then sometimes his unpredictable behavior, it feels like it, how like the tea kettle boils over and starts to whistle. So it feels like he can tolerate, and then he kind of acts out as like a way of releasing. So animals have limited ways of releasing their stress, where people, we can yell, cry, scream, break things, throw things, go for a walk, go for a drive, and we can hopefully feel better. So he feels like sometimes like a pressure cooker. And he wants to know, do you have a husband or a partner?
Yes.
Because he says that your husband or your partner doesn't really want him, and I don't know if he threatens to put him outside. So he also
never
feels like he doesn't feel safe. Like
no,
he
never,
like he kinda,
never. Everybody here just adores him.
Okay. So again, perspective-wise, even if this is in the beginning or whatever it is, this is something that if it wasn't, you know, in his energy, he wouldn't be sharing this with me. So I'll just let him know that the humans do want him and would provide him a forever home. He says that sometimes he also doesn't like the sharp movement, which also can, and like you're going to go pet him or touch him or people walking around. So just, it doesn't always make sense for our left brain logic mind, but in his mind, it's like pins and needly is what it feels
well,
like.
Well, when he was in the backyard and he was just coming to visit us, our dog would chase him. And he's an older dog, and actually he's been very neutral since Huckleberry's been in the house, but he did chase him back across the other side of the fence several times.
Mm-hmm.
But since he's been here, he has not tried to get out at all. Although I've left him, he's in the house and he's not out on the porch near where he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess
but
I'm just a little
mind,
fearful.
Though, too, but keep in mind though too. So even though he's domesticated now, there's still that outdoor feral energy. And so even though it's like scale 1 to 10, and he's slowly diffusing to come down to a 2 or 3, like a normal domesticated cat, it still feels like he has these knee-jerk reactions, so we can't always, like, tame that out of him either.
Sure. And the only other thing I want to know is if we've been able to manage his pain okay, because it's been like a roller coaster with the doctors that we've dealt with.
He says he prefers the one that you would do orally. So if there's a pain med that you give orally, he says he prefers that one over the other one. Do you know what he's talking about?
No, they were all oral, but I'm giving them a supplement right now that is not a medication. It's just it's an all-natural supplement.
But it's still like whether you're putting it in his food because it feels very chalky to him.
Okay, yeah, it's a capsule.
Yeah, and pain-wise, it feels doable. It feels like it's maintaining. So whatever you're doing, it feels like right now it's holding steady. Not saying that it can't change later, but right now I just get more of that sense like it's okay.
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you
you're
very much.
Welcome. Have a good night.
And thank you, Jackie. Stacey, we have one call remaining. You want to just go ahead and take that one?
Sure.
917 area code. Thank you for your patience.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, hi. My name is Carla. Stacey, thank you so much. I'm calling about my dog, Kokomo. He is an English Bull Terrier. He's all white with a black patch around his left eye. He's a rescue, so I don't know his exact age, maybe 10 o'clock, I mean, maybe 10. And 2.5 years ago, he developed osteosarcoma of his right front leg, and that was amputated, and he underwent chemo, and he was doing really great for 2 years and 3 months. And then about 3 months ago, he fractured his back leg, and unfortunately, his osteosarcoma is back, and I really struggled with the decision whether to amputate a second leg or whether to put him to sleep. And I just felt like he wasn't ready to go. He wasn't giving me any signs that he wanted to go. So I decided to amputate the second leg, and so now he has two legs. And he's undergoing chemo again. He's had two doses of carboplatin. And I just want to know if I made the right decision and whether, you know, he is struggling as a bipod or whether he's doing fine, if he is in a lot of pain or discomfort or, you know, what else I can do for him to make his life as best as it can be.
All right, Kokomo. He also feels like a goober. He just, and I don't know if you take his jowls and you like take him and squeeze him, but he just shows me having this squeezable face too. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. So just validating the connection. He says that right now he feels content, like he has the energy and the gusto, but it still feels like it's exhausting.
Uh-huh.
He says that there might be another glitch on the screen. There might be something else coming up that you might be the time to have to let him go. But as of right now, it feels like he also is maintaining. And I do feel like kind of like a smug grin, like he's cheesing from ear to ear. And he says that he loves it when you get on the floor with him. And I don't know if you actually have like treats dipped in peanut butter, but he says those are his favorite.
Oh, my God, yeah. And I was, like, literally just laying on the floor with him right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he loves it. Like, because he says he's your baby. So he says,
yes.
You baby me, and I'm her baby. And it was the right decision to keep, you know, to have both of his legs removed. And so he's the bipod. But right now, he says, I'm okay, but he just doesn't think that it's all gone yet. There might be a time in the future that you will have to let him go.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, he says, just keep loving me. And he says,
mm-hmm.
besides like you hugging and kissing on him, he also talks about that you can still smell like your perfume on him because that's how much you love and kiss on him. And he says, and he loves that too. Like he doesn't mind. Some animals are like, oh my God, that's enough. But he's like, what else you got for me? You gonna make out with me some more? And then he also shows me like rolling over and showing me his belly, like he also loves that, which most dogs do, but he just is, and again, his jowls hanging off everywhere. But
yeah, he loves to do that. He loves getting on his back and rolling, you know, just rubbing his back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So to know that he still is happy and chipper and content and just keeping up with the pain management, and then he will ultimately give you the sign, but it's like you'll have like another unfortunate bad news or something else. You're like, uh-oh, buddy, I think this is going to be it. But he's like, he kind of already knows, and he's preparing you for when that does happen, and to know it's just like, I'm good. But right now, we're having a great life, and just keep feeding me these wonderful treats, he says, and that he loves you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, and I'll keep you guys in my thoughts and prayers as well.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Stacy. I know the backstory on every one of these callers that has called us, and I can't thank you enough. I know that you brought a lot of comfort and understanding and support to people, and wow, I'm speechless, really. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I feel like I'm a little zingy, but I'm doing good, and I'm just honored to be of service and to be a messenger and vessel for the fur friends. And I know it's never easy to, you know, hear things they may not want to hear, may not be ready to hear, but, you know, that's part of this. But hopefully the healing messages and the validations of who the animals were on the earth plane, as well as, you know, how they are in the spirit plane, will help give those, you know, comfort as well.
I know it will. And for our listeners, can you tell us how they can get a hold of you and learn more from you?
Yes, they can contact me through my website at allspirithealing.com through the door appointments button. I am booked usually about a month in advance as of right now, and they can make an appointment for a 20-minute appointment, 30-minute appointment, or 60 minutes. And it depends on, you know, how much time they need for their situation, or if they have multiple animals, and obviously you'd want a longer time frame. And I'm Central Standard Time, so that would be the only difference depending on where people are calling from or to schedule the appointment. But that will tell it. It's all the online scheduler, so it's like four steps to walk through, and that's the only thing that they would really need to know for that.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm sure you will be getting some calls from the Tripods community. It was so good to hear your voice, Stacy. Thank you.
Thank you, guys, and it was an honor. And I, you know, maybe next time down the road, I look forward to connecting with you guys again.
Oh, definitely. Thank you. Yes, amazing. Once again, thank you so much for your time and your energy, Stacy. Listeners can learn more about your work and schedule their own personal readings with you at allspirithealing.com. Find this and all our past podcasts with Stacy and many other animal experts at downloads.tripods.com.
Next time on Tripod Talk Radio, learn more about canine amputation recovery and find the best gear for three-legged dogs at tripods.com.